Tech Team Weekly. This show may contain mature language and themes.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the show. This is Tech Team Weekly, your weekly roundup of tech news brought to you by your friendly neighborhood co-host, Gwen Diagram from Management.
Hiya. How you doing, Sanj?
I'm great. Thank you, Gwen. How are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry.
Beautiful. Neil Stubb from Testing.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Neil. How are you, sir?
Yeah, cannot complain. Really very good this week. We'll get into the stand-up and I'll explain why.
Okay, brilliant. I can't wait. And of course, me, Sanjay Paswani from Engineering. Hello. Coming up today, as usual, we have our stand-up updates for the week. Then we go into social engineering, where we're going to discuss the metrics and what you've been saying. Then we've got this week's epic, our main story, which this week is, are stand-ups dead? Interesting one. I think we're going to get into this. Then we have News Bites, where we bring you some interesting tidbits that didn't quite make it into the epic. And finally, the wash-up to round us off. So without further ado, let's go right into the stand-up.
The stand-up.
All right. So I had a really lovely week. So I hosted Test Bash, which I absolutely love doing. It's an absolute joy because I get to talk to people all around the world. So one of my favorite things is there's a dude, Jazz, in Australia, who I've spoken to 3 times now. I always end up hosting him. And it's just really ace to talk to someone from Melbourne. So yeah, absolutely love it. Apart from that, I ran the retro for Agile on the Beach, which was really nice. Love those folks and getting to hang out with them. So good. And then I spoke to an old friend from Monzo as well, David. So he used to work on the engineering effectiveness team. And I spoke a little bit about this to like my friends at work. And they were like, engineering effectiveness, that's a genius name. So we have like our go faster team called Slytherin, which no one knows what it is because it's Slytherin. And so, yeah, I'm doing a rebranding and marketing exercise around that. So that's really good. Other news, really exciting news. I got a new chair. It is a Herman Miller Mirror 2. And yes, it's amazing. So look, I can fucking rock again. And yeah, it's really nice to crouch on, like, which I have to do. So yeah, like, Herman Millers are the absolute shit. And I have one of these in my home office. I am so stoked. So yeah. And next week I'm getting my flu jab. I'm hopefully seeing Chris Chant. I haven't replied to him. I need to speak to Ash and get replying to him and sort that out. And I'm going to see all of the play, which is going to be really rad. So that's me. It's all good.
I can second the brilliance of Test Bash. I was speaking at Test Bash this week, and the speaker experience, absolutely brilliant, particularly with online conferences where all the talks are submitted in advance. So on the day, I just turned up, I did my introduction, they played the video. I was talking to the host behind the scenes while the video was playing. So I was catching up with Vernon and Richard at Ministry of Testing, who I haven't spoken to in ages, and that was brilliant. One small issue when Richard pressed the wrong button at the wrong time and put me live halfway through my talk, just threw me onto the screen. I was like, oh, hi. Help. And then they put the video back on again. But that was briefly very fun. But yeah, I really enjoyed being re-energized by some speaking to some people at an event. I've got another event coming up in a few weeks. Just announced this week, I'm going to be doing an online talk for the Ministry of Testing Cambridge. It's called How Testers Can Help Shape the Next Normal. It's all about how we've been in this new, weird, new normal for ages, but we're coming out the other side of it. It's probably going to feed in very well to what we're talking about in our epic today. I may well be stealing some of this for my slide material. At work at Postman, quite a lot of work was done with our company offsite, a test team offsite this week. We had like strategy sessions, lots of virtual whiteboarding, talking about what the future lies in store, which is really good because we spent quite a lot of time just thrashing out releases recently. And we've taken a step back now and gone, you know, what service are we providing to the company? How do we want to advertise ourselves? There's some really bright stuff going on there right now. I finally got my new Pixel 6. It arrived this week. Yay! Brand new shiny phone. Nice. I've only had it for sort of 2 days at time of recording. Got over a lot of the initial gripes. There's a lot of weird hardware decisions. Like, by default, the power button doesn't power off the phone. You have to press the power and volume up together. They've just like, it's like they built a power button onto the phone, and then the software team decided, well, we could use that to launch the virtual assistant. It's like, well, no, it's the power button. Luckily, there's a setting and various things like this to turn off various weird gesture controls. It's a really nice handset. The camera is brilliant. It's got this mad thing called a magic eraser built in. If you've not seen their promo videos, basically, like, if someone walks into shot or, you know, some crap in the corner of your photo, you just tap it and it uses machine learning and it works out what should be behind that, and it just removes it with a touch of a button. It's crazy stuff. Also, tiny little aside, I was involved in a tiny little outside of work tiny GDPR incident this week. It's one of these things, like, when you see it happening, it's amazing. We have a cleaner who comes to our house once a fortnight, just for a couple of hours, to do all the stuff that we just don't get time to do, you know, like mopping the floors and stuff that gets away from us. She emailed all of her customers to tell us some updates on her service, accidentally put all of the customers in the CC field, so we now know who all her customers are. And I was freaking out and going, you know, this is actually an issue. You know, obviously, we need to alert her to the fact that she's done this, because all data is valuable to somebody, right? If somebody got this list of her clients, if they were launching a rival service, that would be really valuable for them to know, you know, what are her prices? Who are all her current customers? My wife, on the other hand, was totally blasé and was just reading down the list of emails to work out whether she knew anyone else who used her. But it was a fun little thing that had happened to us this week.
Cool. In my update this week, I started work, so I've had no social life. It sucks, I guess, on that side of things. But it's been good. I've had a really warm welcome back into the company and the various teams that I'm going to be working across. It'll be a while before I can really say much about what I'm doing. There's like all these really strict NDAs and stuff. I have to have meetings with managers about, you know, what I can talk about and what I can't. So we'll see what happens. There is internal, like, you know, social media stuff, which I can talk about, which I might. It is great being back at Sky. It is a great place to work. They're very involved and very aware in, like, you know, cultural and social initiatives, which has been really great. Externally, they're pushing this new product called Glass, which is like a TV with, like, it's like a smart TV with like Sky and stuff built in. I have actually been mentoring someone in my private time who is from Makers Academy from boot camp, and he graduated like about, I don't know, a few weeks ago, a month ago. So a cool guy, very strong. And so I need to kind of catch up with him. He's had a couple of interviews this week, so I hope it all goes well for him. Oh. And actually, I did lie a little. I mean, I did have a little social catch up with a really old, very good friend of mine, Jay. And in some shock news, Jay's husband, who's been vegan for 2 years, might decide not to be vegan anymore.
Oh.
So I'll let you know next week what he decides. Yeah.
Why?
What's tempting him?
I think he's put in his time, and I think he misses meat a little
bit. Wow.
You know? I don't know. I don't have the inside scoop yet, but I'll
I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Social engineering.
Okay, so this week was a quiet week for social engineering. So we've just got a message from Lee, the Rocker Tester. So a good episode again from Tech Team Weekly. It's certainly not every testing podcast that includes a discussion on boudets and bum guns. And yeah, so if you want to give us a shout out, give us a shout and we'll include you in the episode. But yeah, lovely to hear from you, Lee. Thank you.
I take exception to that description of us as being a testing podcast.
I laughed when I saw it. I was like, I'm sure Sam is going to be well pleased about that.
I'm going to love that. Oh, yeah. Hey, nothing against testing.
Yeah, we represent all types here. It's worth mentioning a big thank you to a new patron we have this week, which is Rod Hall, who's head of technology at My Motor Hub. So, yeah, he's not just involved in testing. So always great to have new patrons come on board. I think we should do something for our patrons at some point in November, even if it's just a single video shout out. We half committed to the idea of doing regular content when we get to 10 people, but I do want to do something for the people who are following us already, something fun. Just before recording today, we basically shared all our secrets with each other. Maybe we should record our sharing our secrets videos and just give them to our patrons. Give them the heads up. Elsewhere on socials, we've had quite a few milestones this week. We've just gone over the 200 followers mark on Twitter. Had quite a lot of activity there this week. On YouTube, we're pushing on. We've got 74 subscribers now. I think that's our biggest single week gain in subscribers for a while. We've gone over 1,000 views on YouTube, which is great. And on Anchor, on all the download feeds, we've just gone over 400 as well. And actually, for the calendar month of October, YouTube and podcast feeds almost level. They're kind of balancing out now, which is interesting. Probably a reminder that we shouldn't accidentally put too much visual only stuff into the show, but that's what's going on. We should move on to what you're here to hear us talk about.
Amazing. So the epic. So just before we get into that, I have a question for our audience, if they could help me with something. So I have an 8-hour meeting next week, which is in the office. So we aren't allowed laptops or anything in the meeting. So I usually play solitaire, so I don't get too excited and shout out during meetings. I can consider myself a lot more in long meetings. I think I'm going to take some things to draw with or something like that. But if anyone has ideas on how to what I could take in to help me focus and control myself so I don't get too excited and start shouting, that would be appreciated. So tweet us or LinkedIn if you've got any tips for very hyperactive people. So.
But by the way, sorry, if you do start shouting, can you please record that for us?
If you ever work with me, you will see me doing this and then exploding and having to start shouting about stuff. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm a bit nervous about going back in for an 8-hour meeting and being how am I going to control myself all day? This is going to be fucking impossible. But
that's long though, isn't it? Isn't that too long?
It's very long. It's to work out what we're doing with our product team, so we can make product the best team that they can be, kind of thing. But yeah, 8 hours, they won't have a nice rocky chair there either, so we will have to see.
What are the refreshments like? Do you get provided with, are you gonna get a hot lunch provided or something, or is it biscuits or...
We'll get to go out for lunch, which is good, and then apparently there will be snacks, but whether they've considered that I'm vegan, I'm not sure. So we'll see. Maybe I should say that. Because snacks help you as well, don't they? Especially if you can pull them apart.
This week's epic.
Ben Darfler from Honeycomb posted a really awesome post on the Honeycomb blog, which is amazing, because Honeycomb always have the most genius things. But Ben spoke about how unhappy they were with their current stand-ups, because the stand-ups were async, because they have people in quite a few time zones. So I think the main time zones is they have the west coast of the US and then they have the UK, which I've done before, and it's quite intense. It's 8 hours difference. And so he mused that no one was actually reading these async stand-up updates. And, no one seems to love them because no one reads them. And he tried to read them, but you get distracted and bored. And, they weren't really working. So he said that, another option to the async stand-ups is the, standard stand-up. But the reason why stand-ups worked in the old world was that it could be a 10-minute meeting. And then people were in the office. So if you had things to talk about afterwards, you could just head off to someone's desk and talk on the way, and connection was so effortless. You could head out to lunch, all that kind of good stuff. But in the remote world, that's not actually going to work. So Ben was so what's next? We need to change this. This isn't working. So what Ben has done is he has proposed a meandering team sync where the team has a 1-hour daily meeting 5 days a week. So there are so many things that I love about this when he gets into it. So I'm going to talk you through it. So first thing is it's a social chat. So the first 5 to 10 minutes, people just talk shit. So at my company, we love talking about our trousers. I will post a picture of our trousers in the show notes, because if you lift up our feathers, they're wearing little trousers and it's amazing. So yeah, that's a big highlight. But also dogs. You just talk shit at the start. Eventually, someone who is assigned the role of party pooper moves people along to the work section of the meeting. So the party pooper is a role that rotates weekly. They're just always okay, cool, we've spoken enough, fun stuff, let's get into the actual meaty work, which is a really good idea. So the agenda for this 1-hour meeting is run via a shared doc that people add to over the previous day. I run a few meetings at work like this and it works really well. So when you think of something, just chuck it on the doc so you can walk through it. It means that you don't forget stuff when it comes to the meeting. It's just on the doc, and the party pooper can run through the doc, which just sets the agenda for the meeting. So the agenda's set next day. People from other teams can be invited into the meandering team update if they're needed. If you need someone, that's cool. Just invite them in. Works really well. But probably one of my absolute favorite things about this is this 1-hour meeting is a catch-all. So retrospectives would be run in this. At my work, I've just started sprints with one of my squads. So sprint planning and all of the like would be run inside of this, like, which is absolutely bliss because the devs will get their days back. They just have a 1 hour meeting at the start of the day. And then like on a Friday, you can have fun times. So at Honeycomb, they play Scribble. At Glean, like, we absolutely love code names, and this can be added into the meeting on Friday. So, like, I'm so excited to try this. I've run this past a few people at work, and I'm going to write a proposal and start running it with one of the teams and see how it goes. Sanj, what's your opinion about this?
That's a lot to take in.
Sorry.
I mean, I really liked Ben's article. I liked this idea. I think it's really important to consider what your team and your organization needs, right? Like, for them, this works great. And it sounds fantastic. I really like the idea of this. It's like a 1 hour time slot every day where you just do all of your team ceremonies and meetings. Everything just happens in there, you know? I really like that, you know? Then things aren't just sort of spread out everywhere. But, you know, stand-ups, are they dead? Maybe the traditional kind of stand-up, you know? I don't know. Like, because I know Neil does a async stand-up now, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit behind Ben and Gwen on this journey. So I've gone through the joy and pain of stand-ups. I've worked with companies who've done it well. I've worked with companies doing badly. I spent most of my last 5 years working remotely. So I've only been in an office for 6 months during that time. So I'm used to doing online stand-ups. And yeah, more recently at Postman, because of the global trip we've got, I've been doing it asynchronously. And I have to agree, nobody reads them. To the extent that within my team, the team have basically stopped reporting them. And that's been visible even over just the past few months that I've been there, is people see other people not noticing them or not replying to them. And then they just stop giving updates. We're at a point now where we have effectively one of these async meetings. Sorry, one of these meetings that Ben describes per week on a Monday, which effectively is sprint planning plus what the hell's going on, because no one talks the rest of the time. But I think,
is it, is it working for you?
Not really. It means you have to make those connections yourself. Again, when no one could see each other, you have to reach out. And you know, there's probably the same conversation happening three or four times in DMs where people, you know, don't have this coming together to share the issues. Because one really important thing to mention is that there's a really good video from Stephanie Ockerman, who's a Scrum trainer. I'll put a link in the show notes, pointing out that when you do have a daily stand-up, it's not supposed to be a status meeting. It's not everyone talking to the product owner or the boss or whoever is there saying, this is what I've done. It's supposed to be aiding collaboration. You're supposed to be talking about what you're doing to get towards sprint goals. Maybe these conversations are going to review new work that you didn't already know about. It's helping build that idea about shared accountability and self-organizing teams. And when you do start doing your asynchronous updates, it does turn very much into a status update. It is, here is what I did. And because you don't get that immediate feedback from others, because they're either not working or not giving their feedback at the same time, you don't get that same benefit of building those connections. And you end up, like I say, having to have further conversations off air effectively.
Gwenny, I know you manage a lot of people in engineering. You've worked across a lot of tech teams. What's the kind of feeling you get about stand-ups?
So I used to always love a stand-up in the office. So the stand-ups that I do now, so I go to a couple. I go to one team's for social mostly. So Slytherin, the team that I mentioned earlier that we're moving to engineering effectiveness, like, it's very much a social thing, where we do talk a lot of crap. We never, ever walk the board. So walking the board in stand-ups is something that I really hate. But a lot of people really love. So it's something that people that are more on the order side really need, so they can see where people are and stuff like that. Yeah, I guess it depends on what you want out of the stand-up.
Yeah, I've certainly worked in teams. I've worked in teams where we've had stakeholders on the edge of the stand-up who need to know what we're shipping today, because they need to talk to partners or whatever, and to let them know that, you know, if we've done some work for a customer, their work is going live today, for example. But certainly the best stand-ups that I've seen have been in smaller organizations where you have one Scrum team or maybe two Scrum teams for the entire company. It does, stand-ups don't scale well, because I've been in a position where I've been a tech lead across four different teams. and I need to go to all their stand-ups, and they run back to back, and they don't all run smoothly and on time either. So I just left there. I have a morning which is like stand-up. That was crazy. And it, there needs to be something better than that.
Have you ever worked anywhere where there's a scrum of scrums as well? I used to hate the scrum of scrums. It's like, so an hour of the morning was taken up by like stand-ups, and then you would have the big scrum of scrum meetings where you would go along and update to like the head of development or whatever about what's going on in each teams. And it's like, surely there's a better way. This is so long. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that comes back to what I was saying. I think that sounds like that a scrum of scrums like that is a status update, and you can communicate that through other means, and maybe you should, because meetings are no fun. And that's what's kind of interesting about this blog that Honeycomb did, because it seems counterintuitive in a way, because we've got so many meetings. The idea of taking an entire hour every day to focus on this stuff seems counterintuitive sometimes. But if you count up the amount of time you spend in a day trying to catch up with people and going, we need to have a quick meeting now because I didn't catch this morning, getting out of the way in one go seems really smart.
So one of my favorite things to measure, like in the retrospectives that I do, is I've got a quick fire thing. And one of the questions there is, I have enough time to work. And meetings are the things that stop people having enough time to work. Mashing all of the meetings into one meeting at the start of the day. I haven't tried it yet. I'm so excited to try it. I'm hoping that will change that metric so people have more time to work. So when they do have meetings during the day, it's like, all right, do you want to pair on this? Which isn't so much of a meeting, instead of like, okay, we need to do sprint planning, and now we have our retro, and now like all these different things.
It's in part, I feel like it's driven by sort of a need for accountability as well. You know, I always feel like management kind of like to see that kind of thing happening. They want to see people are moving the tickets across the board, and there's awareness of what's going on, right? And traditionally, it's meant for engineers or people on tech teams to voice their blockers to see if someone can sort of help them out.
The word accountability, like Sanj, I'm going to ask you both, like, what's your opinion on the word accountability? Does it like get you back up, or are you cool with it?
Would you like to go first, Neil? Shall I?
You can go first.
Okay. I don't think it gets my back up. I think, I think it's, you've got to be accountable and responsible for certain things, you know?
I think it combines well with the idea of being sort of, having transparency within your team. I think being able to have grown up difficult conversations about this piece of work is absolutely killing us. It's harder than we thought. Do you want us to keep plugging away at this, or should we put it on the back burner? On the subject of tickets moving across the board, that's kind of the outputs. And I certainly understand there being people who want to focus on the outputs, but you shouldn't let that impact the way that you are organizing as a team, you know, how you choose to run your meetings, when you choose to run them. If you have the freedom to be able to choose how you do that, must be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So, once I mentioned this on Twitter when I retweeted our tweet thing, but years ago, we were allowed to try all sorts of crazy stuff, and it was very innovative and, fun time. And I had this suggestion about let's do a week without stand-ups. Let's just see how it goes, and everyone said, that's a stupid idea, Sanj, that'll never work. And we just went, well, let's just try it. Because we were trying all sorts of things, and, you learn lessons. And I was the first one to crack. I think it was like Wednesday morning, and I was just like feeling the pressure. And I was just like, let's just do it. Let's bring it back. I'm sorry. I apologize. It was a mistake. And I think the reason why I did it, despite the fact that it was important to have those touch points, it embedded in me the need for agile ceremonies, that we have a ceremony as a team. It's like a ritual that we have, and it helps us bond, and it sort of is a connecting point.
I've worked somewhere where like I was finishing, so I had like a 3-month notice period. And in the last 2 weeks, the development manager was like, right, we're not going to do stand-ups anymore. And I had a meltdown. Like, I was just like, this is something that happens at the same time every day, and it makes me feel really comfortable. And you have taken that away. And like, you you look forward to the stand-up, don't you? Like, you want to see your friends. And when that's been taken away and this thing that happens, it, like, apparently it makes me freak out.
Neil, have you ever not done stand-ups?
As a rule, I don't think so. I've certainly had some interesting experiences when I've tried to miss a stand-up and provide my update in other formats, like when the entire team has done a stand-up and I haven't. There was one time late in my wife's pregnancy where we had a hospital appointment that clashed with stand-up. And obviously, I needed to be there. It turned out to be quite an important one. It was the one where the doctor said, "Why the hell are you still working? I'm signing you off work. Take this note to work. You're stopping work now." there was some important stuff going on. So I provided some updates in our team channel. I posted them. And as per async updates, nobody read them. And there was feedback that came back from our Scrum Master after the meeting where they'd like said, "Neil, we need to know what's going on with this." And I said, just so you know, it's posted there in the channel. And he came back to me and said, "Well, if it was that important to you, you should have turned up to the stand-up." I was like, "No, I held my tongue, but yeah, no, I was just very important, thank you. And I provided the information. It's not on me for that information to not be received." I do like a good regime. As long as the information is communicated, I'm not really fussed about how it's done, but the challenge is getting it received sometimes.
Mm. So one of our listeners, RJL Dev, they have said, "At my current gig, which is fully remote, we haven't done daily stand-ups for months. It's been working really well. So just have a retro once a week and a couple of weekly project-specific meetings with the product owner. I'm quite a fan." So, yeah.
This sounds great.
It works for some people, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just so embedded.
I think it depends how much of that conversation you've got going on in the background. I am struggling at the moment because of, at the very least, time zones. It's very difficult to get hold of particular engineers at particular times or know whether they're on or off because of where they are. If you've got a really good dev culture behind the scenes, I could see that that would work. And I'm a little bit jealous, but
Well, yeah, if you have an exact established team of like people who know what they're doing, right, then, you know, it's a lot easier. But I think if you have people who need a bit more support or early career people, you know, I think you need a lot more touch points, you know.
And this feeds in really well to what Steve Desmond has said. The big thing that everyone forgets about developing with agility is that there is no one size fits all solution. So Slack stand-ups sometimes work, sometimes they don't. Individual and interactions over processes and tools. Agile manifesto there for you. And it's not going to work for everyone. And you need to be careful when you make changes as well. So I've made a lot of changes to one of the teams at work, and introducing this at the moment is too much. It's too many changes. So I'm going to have to trial it with another team. You need to be careful about, you know, how much you're doing at once.
Yeah. Things have to be incremental. Otherwise you don't know what's causing a change.
Totally.
This pairs really nicely with our last episode where we talked about Atlassian's experiment with the 4-day work week in episode 9. If you started to try and introduce this the same week you did that, you might get people back up.
Yeah, totally. Be careful with like what you're doing. And check on your team members to see if they're like, there's too much changing. Like this is upsetting me. Because I'm someone who you can make loads of changes and I'm generally pretty fine as long as you don't remove the stand-up completely. but like other people, like a lot of quieter people, like will be like really frustrated and they won't say anything until you ask them. So like make sure you check on your team when you're making these changes, basically.
Yeah. So how do we feel about the fact that we have a section called the stand-up at the start of the show, and it feels like our stand-up section is a status update? We're just going around, everyone's talking about what they did. Do we need to improve the format of our stand-up?
I don't know. I think I like it. But, you know, I'm curious to know what our audience think.
Yeah.
Right. Do they like it? Do they skip past it?
We certainly shouldn't change ours to a 1-hour stand-up per episode. I think episode 1 was close to that, but yeah.
I really like this idea of like letting our Patreon subscribers in on our, you know, secret
pre-recorded fest.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we might have to put some NDAs in place for some of it, but yeah.
We would. We wouldn't be able to record it, but you know, they happen to join us live, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea.
Okay, sweet. Should we wrap this up? Move into Newsmite?
So, Ben, absolutely loved that you blogged about this. Thank you for sharing. These kind of things are really important to share so that, you know, people can try different things and learn how things worked for different companies. So, thanks so much, Ben Daffler and Honeycomb, who always share their stuff. Really appreciate it. And let us know if you try this. Let Ben know if you try this and check out the blog. It's amazing.
News Bites.
First up in News Bites this week, how do you choose the font for your preferred IDE? Many of us just accept the defaults or we cling to a favorite that we've had for years. I'm still guilty of selecting Courier New at any opportunity. Well, now there's a fun site called Coding Font, which helps you to select your new favorite typeface, as a range of fonts are shown side by side, head to head in front of your eyes, allowing you to pare them down until you find your new favorite. What's even more impressive is that the site was built entirely with low code tools, with head engineer Wenting Yang producing an excellent blog post explaining her design decisions and build process, and how a toolkit called Retool allowed her to turn her ideas into reality without having to go through the pain of the typical setup steps which come with pretty much any UI framework. Guys, have you tried this one out for yourselves yet?
No.
I tried it. Oh, no. I was really hoping you would have tried it, Gwen. Maybe you should try it after a recording.
Yeah.
Because me and Neil picked the same
really?
Font. There's like 50 steps or something. And I'm like, we ended up at the identical same one.
Yeah, you could turn off the names of the fonts so that you're not biased. We just stumbled upon the same one.
Yeah.
Well, let me do it now. Oh, these ones are so similar.
This is a cool site. This is a cool
little
thing.
There are a lot of steps. It's like a knockout tournament. There's like 32 fonts. Yeah. You have to go through rounds and it's like a ladder system.
We'll see. I might be able to get it done by the end of the episode.
End of the show.
What are your favorite fonts, then?
So according to this blind competition, which I turned off the font names as well, it was DM Mono.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I came up with as well. And then I looked at, they've got some very, very flowery Fs with tails on both ends. I'm like, why the hell did I vote for this one?
That's funny. So my favorite font ever was Fixis from Notepad. Do you remember Fixis? Oh, it was beautiful. And they used to use it for IRC as well. And it's just a font of comfort because everything's it's all fixed. And so everything's the same. So it's really good for ASCII art.
I'm very, very much into old school Courier monospaced. The fact that you can't confuse characters for other characters, it comes from a background in old school coding back in the day, you know, in the late 90s. That's back in the day for me, at least. And also the fact that I studied journalism and did a lot of writing. We did quite a lot of Courier, and you know, we write things like screenplays or scripts. That's the go-to as well. So I'm really delighted there's a site that can help you find a new, more modern favorite.
I have my font. It is Qtiv Mono.
Okay. Qtiv Mono.
So yours was a mono as well, but it wasn't Qtiv, was it?
Yeah. It was DM Mono, both of ours.
Yeah.
Well, we all picked
Mono.
Yeah,
definitely. Like, Mono is, it's beautiful, isn't it?
There's a link to the site in the show notes if you want to go and try out for yourself.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite font is. Are you Team Neil and Sanj or Team Neil? It'll be like Twilight all over again.
We'll change our website to whichever wins.
That'd
be cool. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Look, in my news bite, good news, Facebook is no more. Bad news, they've just changed their name to Meta. So they announced this a few days ago at the... Did you like that? It was a good one. They announced this a few days ago at their big Facebook Connect event. So they're moving into the metaverse. That's sort of where this name Meta comes from. Now, how they're approaching this is by making a big investment in hardware and software. They're going even further all in on VR and AR glasses. So that's virtual reality and augmented reality. Virtual reality is everything is sort of this digital space. For augmented reality is you're still seeing the real world, but there's like a digital overlay over that. This has all already been being used in team meetings on like an Oculus Rift. They want to expand in this area and more. You know, this conjures up images of like things like Ready Player One or Free Guy. The coverage has been universally negative, as you could imagine, and everyone's drawing parallels much closer to Black Mirror, which I think sounds about right. I hate Facebook, but I really love this tech. Like, I love VR, I love gaming, I love AR. Like, I just love this hardware. This is cool stuff. And the things that they're talking about doing are going to be awesome. It's definitely going to, like, you know, up the sort of game in this space. And I'm excited what it could bring. And I think it's a sign of the dystopian future that we're all heading to.
So, did you see what Mark Zuckerberg was using for a bookend?
Yes, I saw that. It was
barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce.
So, like, he was attempting to be a normal person. Like, what do normal people like? They like barbecue sauce. I will use one for a bookend. He's such a fucking cyborg. Sorry, that was completely irrelevant, but it's so funny.
Well, we had a chat on Slack earlier this week about like what time we tend to go to bed and stuff. And this event was entirely while I was asleep. I had an early night, woke up and found I missed all the memes. So I was playing catch up most of the time. I think, yeah, a lot of the tech demos, I think those of us who are working closely enough with the technology know that it's still a long way away. Obviously, the demo itself was entirely computer generated. It was conceptual. It's like we're a long way away from being able to do this in terms of, you know, visual quality, audio quality, lag. And even the stuff that they were showing off in this completely fake demo, like there was a thing where someone was in the real world and they saw some artwork, like an AR artwork, and they scanned it in and it was projected into their Oculus, and then it started fading away, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll just send a tip to the artist. And like someone said on Twitter, oh good, now they're monetizing our eyeballs.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but yeah, it's going to be a bag of trouble.
I hope that someone else does this. So like, if Microsoft did this, it's unfortunate that they built Teams, which is such a fucking pile of shit. But if Microsoft did
they
this,
have
I'd be like...
The HoloLens.
The HoloLens! Did you ever get to use the AR?
It looks cool, though.
I went to a really good, an absolutely insane conference called Pirate Summit, and I got to try the AR there, and it was amazing. Like, really liked it. And this was, like, maybe 5 years ago. So... like what Microsoft would be doing. Do you remember when they were going to do like AR Minecraft as well? And it was amazing. Yeah. Where is that? It's like Google Glasses. Like that went down the wayside. And yeah, so I mean, all of this kind of stuff always doesn't happen. Will this actually happen?
I think it comes down to whether you can monetize it. I think you may struggle to monetize Minecraft on its 50th different platform, but I'm sure Facebook will find a way to sell something, even if it's just ads, which it probably will be.
Oh. Yep.
The Wash Up.
On that bombshell, it brings us towards the end of another fantastic episode. It's been lovely talking to you, Sanj.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you as well, Neil, and you, and you, audience.
Yeah.
I was going to get to you, Gwen. I wasn't going to leave you out.
I was like, I'm being
he wasn't. Hanging. He was going to miss you out then.
Well, that's thank you very much for listening to us today and watching us on YouTube if you're one of our YouTube people. As always, if you can smash the subscribe button or recommend to a friend, that's really helpful to us as we continue to try and grow. We're always interested in hearing your feedback. If you send us tweets or LinkedIn messages or shout at us in the street, all are welcome as long as you stay 2 weeks apart. And we'll see you all next week for episode
11.
It'll be 11 next week, won't it?
11.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
See you next
Bye.
Week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tech Team Weekly.